Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, these concluding remarks of the Apostle. We'll begin reading at verse 8. Hear now the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The word of God to which we draw your attention in the preaching tonight, beloved, is Philippians 4 and verse 13. Though we shall be taking due note of the context, especially verses 10 through 13. But verse 13 stands out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beloved, don't you know that giving is the opening of many doors and the beginning of many blessings? Giving itself is that way. The apostle writes in this context here at the occasion of his having been given unto by the Philippians. And at this occasion when they have given unto him, and he writes about this, he's received this gift while he's in prison. He reflects upon the fact of their giving and he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. And that's verse 10. That now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now, isn't that what the Apostle Paul has been celebrating this whole time, beloved, in as we've considered the book of Philippians? He's been celebrating the fact that there was a real congregation there at Philippi, this first European congregation, real, really touched by God, saved, brought near unto the wonderful salvation of God, overwhelmed by his mercy and bearing fruits of so many different kinds. And here again, at the last of the epistle, he rejoices greatly in the Lord in this, his joy and his crown. The Philippians have come through again. They've been a blessing to him. They've given to him. And at this time, beloved, there is this reflection upon that. And really, most of all, to the end of the chapter here, the end of the epistle, the celebration of the giving of the Philippians and what that meant to the apostle and what it meant about the grace of God at work in their hearts. About this time, the Apostle Paul celebrates their giving and gives back to them. He's in prison and languishing, and he's been supplied, and all his needs have been taken care for. And the Philippians have been used of God for that. And he gives back to them by sharing a secret with them, a great secret. And it's the secret of contentment. He reminds the Philippians, he thanks God for the Philippians' giving, but he reminds them that I really don't need what you give. Not that he's belittling the gift, and he goes on to say, that's not it at all. But I do want you to understand that I have been so given unto by God that I know how to suffer want, and I know how to abound, regardless of what I don't have or what I do have. There's something about what has happened to me, the apostle says, that I want to share with you. And the epitome of the apostle's secret that he wants to share is in our text. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I find here, beloved, a testimony of a superman. And that's the theme of my sermon here, a superman. And I don't want that to be distracting to you, so we'll explain that presently. But there definitely is something here that is above men. There is this mightiness about this man, this testimony that he gives, that is simply above the human realm. And we're going to deal with that and consider that and ponder that for our own blessing as well. Well, we want to consider the amazing confession that this is. And secondly, we want to consider how he can say it. And finally, want to consider the secret that the apostle is sharing here. And if there's anyone here who really needs to know contentment and strength needs to have in their weakness, the secret is for you. Let's hear from God's word. The Apostle Paul, in this remarkable text and in the context, is speaking of a marvelous and mysterious serenity, a peace of soul that rises above all circumstances, a serenity which is very high and which is very deep, which is real, which is unchangeable, which is from heaven. That's what the apostle is speaking of when he says, in whatsoever state I am, I've learned to be content. And you know how remarkable it is, beloved, when he goes on to describe that contentment, which exists, he says, in every state of abasement, that is, having nothing, or even in every state of abundance. He knows how to abound. Everywhere, he says, and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And that's the basis then for his statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now think of that, beloved. The apostle is speaking here not with exaggeration, but as an apostle of truth. And what he's doing is saying, this is my experience even in prison. And even then, when my needs are supplied in prison, there's something here that's above the circumstances. And a peace with God, that serenity, peacefulness, that passes understanding, to be sure. You see? So he's speaking of things here not measurable. You don't take an abacus here, or a slide rule, or compare things and other things. He's speaking of things here that are simply, well, they're super. They're above what can be understood with the human knowledge and can be appreciated in circumstances. These statements are of a state that is simply transcendent. It's very wonderful here. And the apostle wants the Philippians to be taken into this, to confess with him the same thing, to know the same serenity. And no doubt, don't you think, the Holy Spirit desires of all who hear the apostolic word today to share in this contentment in the same way that the apostle shares in that and by the same means. Well, beloved, this is a marvelous state of serenity and peace and calm, the state of one who's not ruffled when the seas are rocky, the state of one also which is not overly exhilarated and then soon to be disappointed when he has so much stuff of the earth that he abounds but isn't getting the spiritual message of God. Even the abundance will not shake him from this serenity, this peace with God. Well, beloved, this is based on a prior state, a much more important state of affairs with the apostle than the state of the things and circumstances of his life. That's what's understood here. And that's what we must understand if we are to understand the basis for this wonderful statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and prior to that, in whatsoever state I am, I have learned to be content. There's something, first of all, here we have to get of this apostle, and which is something he would presume the people know. He's been speaking of this, after all, in the prior chapters of Philippians. He's been revealing his spiritual state. And that's the key to this here. You and I, if we are to be able to say this thing, must somehow grasp the state, the condition of the apostle with the Lord spiritually, and ourselves to share in that state and condition of an apostle. And I'm speaking here, beloved, of something like justification, the state of being right with God. The Apostle Paul knew that, I'll say, and he's told us of this, of his righteousness in Jesus Christ, of a Pharisaistical self-righteousness that he renounced for a real rightness with God that he has now received by faith in Jesus Christ. This, I say, is something that he knows and enables him to say with regard to things, because his other more important thing, this state of being right with God, has been taken care of. With regard to things, I can say I'm content. And they are relatively nothing compared to this other state of being right with God. Need I say, beloved, too, that he's referring to this condition of the indwelling spirit, the state, the legal rightness with God, and the condition. These are prior things here. These are things that have been settled for the apostle, in which we knows with a certainty, so that the other things of life, they don't ruffle him. They don't rock him. They don't move him. Because he's right with God and he's indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's something. The Apostle Paul knows that his heart's been changed. He's been visited. He was visited one day in the Damascus Road and turned around in his terrible pursuit of the Christians, in his hatred and antagonism of all that was truly righteous and lovely and of good report. He was turned around because his heart was moved, and he was given this living heart that truly was desirous to know the love of God in Christ. The apostle is able to say these things of contentment with regard to earthly things, because something much more important had been taken care of. Something which enabled him to be content in all things was this something that had to deal with his soul, his eternal state of affairs, and his state of affairs with the living God with whom he had to do and with whom we have to do. Now, beloved, the question to us today, because this text is calling us to consider this question, is this our understanding of things? The most important thing, our state of being right with God, of being just before God's tribunal, our condition of being holy and indwelt by the Spirit and liberated from the bondage of sin, is that what we know? Our heart right with God, or a heart that is simply corrupt and thinking of the things of men and of earth and of self? Now, That's why the apostle could be content. Because the apostle's soul was taken care of. The apostle's position before God was taken care of. The apostle's health of soul was known to God. God was on his side. This the apostle knew. And therefore the apostle knew this. Everything, good or evil, from an earthly point of view, was for his eternal good. Everything. And so he had learned to be content not only, but to be glad in whatever situation he found himself. Oh, this is the key. The key to Christian contentment, so that all these earthly states are subservient to the eternal and the spiritual and to the God who is our Savior. Oh, beloved, the Apostle Paul here is speaking much more positively than passively here. When he says, whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. He goes on in our text, goes on to say, not only that, not only have I learned how to be abased and to take it, and how to abound and receive it, but, as our text says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? Well, beloved, I find here a positive explanation of someone who is one who is concerned in life to be a doer of the word and to live out of faith in the midst of all circumstances, and not simply to receive blows or to receive good things and to wait there passively for God himself to do everything in his life and he has no involvement in it whatsoever. No, here you have someone who has the key to contentment and peace with God, who knows he's right with God, who knows he's indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but he's a doer of the word. And he says here, I can do all things, and I'll tell you those who may be too used to Hollywood, the apostle is not saying, I can leap over a building in a single bound, or I can bend the course of mighty rivers, or I can bend steel with my bare hands. That's not what the apostle is saying here when he says, I can do all things. Some Christians, I think, are like that. Doesn't the apostle say in another place that faith moves mountains? I can do that, can I? The idea, beloved, of the apostle saying with great boldness that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him is that he can do all the things that he's called to do in this state, whatever state he's in. All the things that are necessary to do. All the things that are right in front of him to do. That's a very important limitation on the all things, isn't it? But it's a very good one. I can't do all things that maybe everybody else is called to do in their situation, but I can do all things in all these circumstances I find myself in. I can do whatever I'm called to do there. So, I can be a single man because I'm called to be a single man. That's what the apostle knows. I can do all things as a single man. As a married man can say, I can do all things necessary to be a good Christian husband. As a married woman, I can do all things that are necessary to be a good Christian wife. If I have children, if God's going to bless me with that, I can be a good parent. I will be able to do this because Christ strengthens me. This is the idea. The apostle is taking us right into the world, from heaven into the world, to make a confession in our world. I can do all things in the hospital if I'm called to be in the hospital. What are all these things? Well, I can be a good patient. I can be patient. I can be waiting on the Lord there. I can do all things if I'm limping to serve the Lord with a limp. I can do all things if I'm a wealthy man to serve the Lord and not have it go to my head. I can do all things as a poor man and be content there and receive from the Lord whatever he would give. I can do all that. You see, this is the Christian's opportunistic manifesto. Everything that comes my way is this opportunity and privilege for me to say, I'm good with this. And not only, I'm not just going to take it. I'm going to make it something that is an avenue of obedience and faith and for the praise of God. I find here the apostle a great example to all of us who think sometimes that life in all of its difficulties is simply to be put up with. Now there's something to it. We are called to endure. But there's more to that. We are called to do whatever that is God calls us to do. And you might think it's not much, and you can't even do much because physically you're in this condition of prison or infirmity. But there's something to do. Maybe pray. Maybe smile and show no bitterness in all of these things. Well, are we there, beloved? I find that this is really a confession here that we're called to make that reminds us of the divine in our life. Something that's super, something that has affected our life. And this is where we want to apply this here. The apostle says, I can do all these things. And he's inviting the Philippians to make the same confession. He's not showing off here. He's saying, well, this is me. It's particular to me. I'm just the one who can do it all. And you guys just stand there and envy me. Of course not. The apostle Paul is setting forth an example to us. And God the Holy Spirit has seemed pleased to write this so that we, in our highs and in our lows and in everywhere in between, and this is usually where it's the hardest, we, in all the in-betweens, we can say the same thing. We can know our condition with God and our state with God and see all of our circumstances of life in that light and then make the great confession, you know what? I can do all things now. All good things. And you see, these things, no doubt he's referring back to the verse 8 and 9, the whatever things were noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue and of praise that the Philippians were to meditate on, and which things they'd learned and received and heard and seen in Paul. And which the apostle says to the Philippians, now you do those things, those good things, those excellent things. You're in the circumstance where you have these talents. Well, serve the Lord with those talents. You're in the circumstances where you're poor. Serve the Lord. Do things in that condition and do them with cheer and joy, which no doubt the apostle is exuding here. Well, the question, of course, is how, and this is the second point I'd leave with you. There's, of course, all kinds of braggarts in this age who claim to be able to do either all things or many things, and who claim to do this in their own strength. That's, of course, not the apostles' confession, but consider this age in which we live. All kinds of people and institutions and groups, and sadly churches, we can do all things. Meaning, we can do anything we want. Sky's the limit. And we can do all things so that the whole town gets converted. And the kingdom of heaven is set up here and all these things. The sad thing is, they're boasting and they're misinterpreting the all things. The Apostle Paul knows his strength is in Jesus. And that, of course, is key to understanding our contentment and our strength. That's key, beloved, because otherwise we actually will think that we're Superman in ourselves, a superwoman, super Christian, and we'll say, yeah, because I studied and went to seminary and read Bavinck and Kuyper in the Dutch and know the Puritans more than any of you. What pomposity. And I'm able to debate with Arminians and defeat them in a single argument. I can do all things and be an ecclesiastical and theological nut and give no glory to God. But this confession of the apostle is something that reminds us that anything super and above and peculiar about us in that it's good is from heaven. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Who is Christ? He is God Almighty with us. He's God Almighty. He's God Almighty who has come down into this earth and died for sins, sinners, atoned so that we can be justified and we can be sanctified and indwelt by the Spirit. More, He rises up on the third day and He's at the right hand of God and He's received all power and all authority in the human nature to mediate the salvation of God so that that work of the cross over there and then done becomes now mine and yours through this faith that He gives, this Spirit that He pours out, this new birth. So that now there's this living connection, this vital link between heaven and earth, between God and my earth and my heart and my life and all those things in my life. That's what the apostle is alluding to here when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's this connection between us, this connection of faith. That's the idea here, beloved. In all things, there's this believing response of the apostle, and there ought to be in us. There ought to be in us. So that in all things, we give glory to God, we lean upon the Savior, and we trust in Him. So the apostle would give all the praise to Christ Jesus, and he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's been quite a school, I'll tell you, to get to that confession. You know that the apostle had already spoken of the Philippians learning certain things in verse 9. But now he comes back to that and he says, I've learned, verse 11, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, verse 12, both to abound and to suffer need. This is important here. And this is something for us. There is a learning that is alluded to here, which is something that is for all of us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm content in whatever state. And that is because we go to school as Christians. And we always go to school until we graduate and go to heaven. We learn. And one of the words, beloved, one of the words that the apostle uses in verse 12 about learning, I've learned to be full, is a word in the Greek language that is derived from the word that means mystery. We could translate it, I've been initiated into this school, into this lesson. I've been initiated. And the idea is that he's learned a secret. I've learned something that's very secret that nobody else knows. And this, beloved, is what we have to get at right here. There's something vital for us to say, yes, I'm content and I can do all things. And it's this learning
of this mystery. What is this mystery? Well, I believe, beloved, it's the fellowship of God in Christ. The fellowship that we enjoy by faith as we ourselves participate in the sufferings that are left for the body of Christ to suffer. As we also participate in the glories of Christ and His resurrection. You see, he's saying there's something that we learn as Christians. Even though we've been justified, yes, and sanctified, yes, there's something that occurs for the rest of our life in all situations. Some lesson that we're learning here, as God in our weakness is working in our faith to be strong, we learn of the mystery of God Himself who came and who learned, the Apostle says in Hebrews, through the sufferings that He suffered, who learned obedience. Isn't that amazing? And we ourselves are taken in here to that mystery of the school of Christ. You see, the idea here is when things happen to us and we go through things, faith is called to act. Faith is called to cling to Christ, to receive good things with gladness, and to receive difficult times with humility, meekness, and reliance on the Savior. And as that occurs, as faith is worked, as we are led to act in a believing way, there is this wonderful entrance into the mysterious union and experience of Christ with us, God with us in Christ. That's what he's getting at here. This is no mere manifesto of some guy proudly thinking that he is a super Christian all by himself. He's simply stating the facts of all Christianity. There is this meeting of God with men that takes men and women and children and little kids and all who are given faith above the fray, so that we learn and we're led to Christ in the middle of things and led to give God the glory and led to confess the Christ who is the Almighty God and Savior. Now that, beloved, is for you and for me and for all who believe. You believe that? You believe that? Well, there's something here, beloved, that, of course, is a challenge to us. It ought to be. The bar is high. The bar is high. And so maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I can do some things, but not everything, through Christ who strengthens me even. And I'm not so good as the Apostle says I ought to be here. Well, beloved, nevertheless, this word is for you and it's for me and it's for all of us as a church. For all of us together as a church, for ministers in the church, for elders, for deacons, for fathers, for mothers, for people in impossible situations, and people in impossibly abundant situations. We have so much. The temptations are real. Simply to renounce the faith and say, I've earned it. The bar is high. The bar is holiness. The bar is contentment, complete contentment and serenity in the midst of all things. The Word of God is saying to us, now you thrive here. You be those people who are mine. And to remind everybody in this wonderful religion that you're confessing and doing and living out of, that there's a God who's super, who's above human beings. This God who manifests this superiority in His lowliness, in His grace, and in His kindness. You, yourself, in a situation, for example, where people hate you and stomp on you and persecute you and whisper about you, how are you going to show yourself there? How are you going to behave? How are you going to show unconditionality in your love? And something that shows the love of Christ. Beloved, I believe we have to learn, as Joseph once did, when
Remember when it was revealed that he was this one at Pharaoh's right hand, and the brothers came and their father had died, and they were thinking that Joseph now was going to get even. In Genesis 50, he says, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." 13 years in debasement, Joseph learned contentment and to do all things through the promised Christ who strengthened him, believing in the sovereignty of God, in the superiority of God over circumstances. Joseph learned that. Moses learned that, didn't he? Moses learned also not to fight with his fist, but to be one who was meek and who waited upon the Lord. Peter had to learn that. Bold, brash, "Peter, I can do anything, and I'll be there, Lord, when everybody else is not." Had to learn. He had to learn his strength in Christ. Paul had to learn that. Renounce his Pharisaical merit for the glories of Christ. We have to learn that. And even, beloved, when people are like Judas, and you feel they're like Judas, and they hand you a cup, remember, God stirs even the Judas cup and mingles all the evil of men with his grace, so that when you drink it, you know God is good, and this too will be for your good. Beloved in Jesus Christ, this is what I pray for you, that you can say with the apostle, in whatever state you are, you're content, really. And so that it's seen here, there's a people that is doing all things here. Everything you're called to do. Preach, preacher, elder, elder, deacon, deacon, father, father, man of God here, man of God there. Go on and do the things in front of you. The next thing, even if you can't see all the things down the road, the next thing. For praise, through Christ who strengthens you. May God bless us with such a testimony, not merely of supermen, believing men and women and children, but of the great God of heaven and of earth, whom we love and who loved us to make us so and so blessed. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray, bless us now. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be content in all things and to declare with the Apostle Paul himself, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give your Spirit, Lord, now to receive this word and truly to live by it. And for those, Lord, struggling with this or that or the other thing, and maybe with pride itself, may there be this conviction of the Holy Spirit and true faith that our only source of strength is in Jesus Christ the Lord. May we believe, Lord, help our unbelief, confirm us, equip us for the battle, and give us to give you praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.